Welcome everybody to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you all are here or perhaps are listening in at a later time. Let's just take a few moments to get quiet and centered as we come together to that quiet, still place within that we all share. That place that we can easily forget about when we get caught in the happenings of the world. And if we don't touch that place right away, we can simply embrace our willingness to go there. Holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And taking a few mindful breaths and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right, so we are, if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're in Chapter 8. The subheading is Communication and the Ego-Body Equation. It's on page 187. Again, Communication and the Ego-Body Equation. If you are listening in and you have the original edition, we are also in Chapter 8, Part 7. It's also called Communication and the Ego-Body Equation. Page 157 if you have the hard copy of the book. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 151, Chapter 8, Part 7. It's called The Body as a Means of Communication. And I have a feeling that this is going to be just what I need to hear. After having, I was sharing before we started recording the call that I spent 6 hours in the car today with what should have been a 3-hour trip in a snowstorm, a surprise snowstorm. So the body was feeling very real. All right. Communication and the ego-body equation. Attack is always physical. When attack in any form enters your mind, you are equating yourself with the body. This is the ego's interpretation of the body. You do not have to attack physically to accept this interpretation. You are accepting it simply by the belief that attack can get you something you want. If you did not believe this, the idea of attack would have no appeal for you. When you equate yourself with a body, you will always experience depression. When a child of God thinks of himself in this way, he is belittling himself and seeing his brothers as similarly belittled. Since he can find himself only in them, he has cut himself off from salvation. And I will pause there for comments. There's a lot, I'll jump right in. There's a lot that stands out to me just with having had the experience that I did today in the car with, you know, driving for 6 hours in a snowstorm following tire tracks, and also being with, you know, a group of people where, of course, some can be challenging. And so, for instance, the person who is driving has a very short temper. So if somebody is just, you know, driving in front of him and, you know, it makes him extremely angry very, very quickly, very, very short fuse. And I found myself on a number of different occasions wanting to, you know, attack back, like, chill out, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. That, you know, this is perhaps why there might be issues with your blood pressure, that kind of thing. So what this is saying to me, I don't have to attack physically to accept the interpretation of equating, when, you know, attack meaning equating myself with a body. So simply, even by believing that, you know, if I attack back, that can get something that I want, which is, you know, maybe a better person behind the wheel. So this is just really speaking to me that what that experience, I think, taught me today, what I'm trying to say is that I can't rely on my body's eyes to show me truth. You know, it can only come once I'm just willing to not see, not buy into what my body's eyes tell me. And there's, I also recognize that I allow myself to be where I'm at, in that it was really hard for me to do that. I was doing it as much as I possibly could in the moment. It was much easier for me to turn it over after I was out of that car.
That was going to be my question. It's so funny when you said that. I had the same experience yesterday and one other day this week with someone who was driving who gets the same way, and then I would attack, you know, in my mind, I'd be frustrated and want that person to chill out. And, you know, the funny thing about that is that was, then I wasn't chilling out. And then I had an extra layer to it and was attacking myself after and being like, why weren't you more patient? Like, this is a family member. Why aren't you more patient? You know, you should be more patient. And so it was just like this spiral of ego for me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're so right on too, with that added layer of, you know, self-attack, thinking I should have done it differently, or I'm not, you know, maybe we've talked about this before. I think like, I'm not doing the course, or I'm not doing the course right. You know, just like getting in there.
I'm a spiritual failure.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really, really giving it to ourselves. So that what this is saying too, you know, that when we are attacking, even if it's just that idea of attack, we're equating ourselves with the body, we're equating our brothers with the body, and we will experience depression. We'll experience, that separation. We're making this all real, and so there's got to be another way. There's got to be a better way. Thank goodness there is.
Just that one line. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that one line, the first line, attack is always physical. I mean, it's simple, but it's so profound.
Mm.
Like.
And do you have more to say about that? I have some thoughts about that.
Just that it's emphasized that it's always physical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't get more clear than that. And so, again, the body is always the ego.
The body is always the ego. You're hitting a really important point, because we're talking about attack thoughts. So we could say, oh, well, aren't we really talking about something that's non-physical? And yet it's that, it's those attack thoughts that are making the body real, right? It's those attack thoughts that are making this seem to be, you know, as real as it seems, even though
it's not real.
That it's not, exactly. So yeah, you're right, Deidre. You're right on with, you know, the body is always of the ego. It's the ego's home. And so if we're engaging in attack at any level, whether it's our thoughts or whether it's physical, we are making this physical real for us.
I think it's also kind of interesting where it says, when you equate yourself with a body, you will always, again, in all caps, experience depression. You know, I think I've kind of become immune to that in a sense. Because when the Course says, when the Course emphasizes that, I know on some level it's not kidding. This thing is serious to the core. But when we read that, I thought, well, I don't always. I mean, I walk around equating myself with the body most of the time, and I don't always experience depression. Well, yeah, maybe I do.
That's where, you know, what that makes me think of is how the Course says that we're profoundly confused about what makes us happy and what makes us not happy.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's exactly what you're touching on. You know, we equate ourselves with a body probably 99.99% of the time, and we're not even aware that that is the source of what makes us, unhappy. It propels us to keep looking, that there's got to be something that will, you know, make me happy. There's got to be something out there.
I think that word depression is also kind of like a variable. Like it could be anxiety too.
Yeah.
At least for me, those two are interchangeable.
Definitely. I think you could.
Would you just say that again? Just say that again.
For me, when I read it, it was like a word that was a variable. Like I could replace it for me with anxiety. So for me, when I'm getting in those places of, you know, depression or anxiety, that I'm over identifying with the body and the ego.
But that's really interesting, because loneliness could be replaced with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, there's all kinds of descriptive adjectives here that
sickness.
Yeah.
Even boredom.
Lack.
Yeah.
I think we could really put any of these. Terms that the world is quite familiar with, we could put there.
That makes me think of that prayer that you shared a while back about thank you for helping me forgive myself for using fill in the blank to separate
to
from
attack
your
myself
love.
And to separate
yes.
from your love. Yes, that's that
yeah.
prayer from Nook Sanchez. It was
so awesome.
Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself and to separate from your love. I think that's all of it. It's a powerful one. Oh, I'm glad that came up for you, Deidre. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks for that reminder. I wish I would have remembered that yesterday.
But again, it only matters, you know, right now. So that's where even if I was, I'm just, you know, thinking, I was in the car, you know, being willing to see differently and, you know, asking for the miracle instead. And it wasn't, you know, I was too much in fear to actually be able to hand it over in that moment. But afterwards, it became much easier. So the fact that we're remembering that prayer now is just perfect.
Well, and that's perfectly okay. Like, sometimes you need to react, you know, you need to give yourself, like, I had a similar situation this week where someone said something to me and I had a total egoic reaction, right? Like, I totally took it into my body and this person's making a judgment on me and I'm not going to stand for that. I'm going to say something back. And I did. And afterward, it really bugged me because I was like, oh, I was too judgmental, you know, spiritual ego coming in. I should have been more understanding. I shouldn't have reacted the way that I did. And so I sat with spirit and I was like, it took me, you know, a good 10, 15, 20 minutes to really let it go. Because my ego kept wanting to, oh, you could have been better. You should have been a spiritual example for this person. Like, my ego really wanted to hook me in there. But once I was able to let it go, the person who was part of the, you know, situation that occurred came back to my house to drop something off. And it was like nothing had happened a few minutes before. So there was the miracle, right? And it part of the miracle was allowing myself to have those feelings and forgive myself for having them. Because if I had tried to fight it, I would have just stayed in there longer.
Deidre, that's I'm so,
that's
again.
Gorgeous.
It really, really is. And what you have just helped me realize for myself is that the miracle for me with the, you know, the situation that I described that I, you know, went through today, the miracle for me is that right now I don't feel that that feeling of, oh my gosh, I never want to see them again. Like, I never want to, you know, I can't say that we're going to be traveling again together anytime soon, but the miracle for me is that I don't feel that that angst that I used to about, you know, future gatherings. I feel very free in that manner. So thank you for articulating that, because that really helped me to articulate for myself.
You're welcome.
Yes, a miracle for me. Thank you. Wow.
You know, that kind of contrast really always strengthens our faith, I think, in the long run, and ability to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you didn't have those occurrences, how would you maintain this, really?
Right, right. That's right. You know, we also touched on this theme last week with the idea that when we, I'm trying to think of what it was. I know I'm pretty sure I shared the example with my mom and how I realized if I'm worrying about her, that I'm attacking her. You know, I'm therefore just strengthening the idea that she is in fact her body and is subject to, you know, whatever ailments it may be, versus again being, even if that's coming up, just being willing to hand that over. That just comes to mind to me again when we read the second to last sentence in this first paragraph. When a child of God thinks of himself in this way, he is belittling himself and seeing his brothers as similarly belittled. Since he can find himself only in them, he's cut himself off from salvation.
Can I just share one thing?
Please.
I've been using Earl Purdy's YouTube channel to help me go through the daily lessons.
Mm.
And he said something recently in one of the lessons that I went through, is that any time you see, like, Son of God in the course referred to, you can replace that with creation of love.
Mm.
Oh.
And I found that really profound, as well as the replacing holiness with innocence or innocent. And I just thought I would share that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. I really
so where it says, when it says here, when a child of God, so when a creation of love thinks of himself in this way, he is belittling himself.
Beautiful.
It just puts beautiful. Another spin on it entirely
it
for me.
It does.
Yeah.
That's really helpful.
I also wanted to add. Oh,
please.
Yeah, I wanted to add, you, Corinne, you just touched on it that we were talking about this kind of last week, and I wanted to, there's a specific moment in time that happened with my friend that I shared about last week, and I wanted to share it with this group, because I was like, I think these guys would appreciate it. And it was like, I talked to her after I had said that, you know, I let go of the worrying because she had gone through this little drama situation, whatever. And then we went through the talking about like how, yeah, it was, if you worried, you saw that person as not having their own guidance. So I kind of like let the situation go completely and was kind of really in the space of like, you know, if she's kind of wanting to talk, she'll bring it up. And if not, you know, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to see her as already healed. So when I saw her again, she didn't bring it up. So I didn't bring it up. And then the next day I saw her. So this was Monday. We talked Sunday, saw her Monday. Nobody brought it up. Saw her Tuesday. And then somehow we started talking about things. And then she brought up that she was kind of hurt. She said something to me like, oh, I kind of might need your help. And I know you don't like her interpretation was that I didn't like hearing horrible things. And I said, well, I'm not sure where you got that from, but, you know, if you need help, let me know. She said, well, you didn't ask me anything yesterday. And I said, well, I wasn't sure, you know. And then I kind of shared with her what I was processing on Sunday, kind of like my release and stuff. And I don't know how she understood it, but something she said stuck out to me. And she said, oh, so you were worrying about it. So, oh, I thought you didn't care at all. She's like, oh, but now I feel better because now I know you cared. And I thought, I took that in and I thought, that's interesting. And I didn't connect it to her, but I definitely connected to her ego. And I thought, that's interesting. Her ego thinks that because I was worried, that means that I cared. So she actually feels better because, like, her ego, you know what I mean? Like, it relieved her to think that because I was worrying, that means that I actually cared about her. So I thought that was really interesting because I saw the moment not as her thinking upside down, but I really thought, well, I have to share that with the group because I thought, I think that's very I think that's something that a lot of people can still connect with and think that that is kind of right-minded thinking, or it seems like it's the right way to think, like, oh, you're worried, that means that I care, you know, and it's totally like the ego having that completely upside down. So it was interesting, and I came home and I shared with my husband. I thought, it's interesting, she said to me, and it was that moment where I like quickly forgave it and let it go. Like, it was just enough for me to be like, oh, that's interesting. I think I need to share that, because I think it is common for us to feel, for most people to think that we connect worry with actually caring, like, oh, we cared about that situation.
You know, that's one of the problems with that can be a real issue with the Course in Miracles, you know, when you're working with the Course in Miracles, because it is so unlike the way the world thinks,
mm-hmm.
and directs
yeah.
us in that you know, holding to the truth is the world is baffled by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just that's so interesting. You're bringing this up, mm-hmm. and I've found, you know, since I've been working with the material over time, it's like when I try to hold to the truth, very often I'll ask the Holy Spirit in the middle of that situation, like, if there's something that I need to say here, you know, please direct me.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, there's the feeling that I care about that person comes through somehow, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I was going to say, I think you're hitting on an important piece about asking the Holy Spirit, you know, what to do in that moment. Because, Clary, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, because this is, I feel like there's so many points to be made with this particular issue, because, you know, on one hand, the Course says when you don't share a thought system, you're weakening it, and those who believe mm-hmm. in that thought system are going to perceive it as an attack upon them. So in one sense, absolutely, yes, the Course is a different path, and it could be perceived at times of, you know, maybe being like you don't care or insensitive or something. And yet the flip side, I'm going to make my main point is we always ask the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what to do
mm-hmm.
in any given circumstances. That's the bottom line answer. It
yes.
might be to say nothing, or it might be, you know, to say something, because what stands out to me is Regina John Akers. I was listening to an audio. She's a course teacher. Actually, I don't even know if she considers herself a course teacher or just more broadly like a teacher of truth. She started an online church, and I was listening to just this audio recording of her explaining just why she was going in this direction and what it was going to be. And one of the things that she said was that, you know, when we are she gave, I think, course students as an example, you know, when somebody tells you that they just have lost their husband, don't say, oh, well, this isn't real, you know, like how how heartless can you be, you know, like, obviously somebody who's not, you know, walking
mm-hmm.
this path is going to not understand this. She's like, you know, we can still hug them and comfort them and yet still be taking it to the Holy Spirit as we're doing so. So I feel like there's that fine line between, it's not even a fine line, it's just simply the line of asking the Holy Spirit what to do in the moment, because we don't certainly want to be unkind, and we also want to be practicing what we're preaching and, you know, working things that way too. And another thought that came up for me as you were talking was how the Course talks about the true use of empathy. And how when we have, you know, those feelings of compassion and empathy come up, again, if we're looking through our body's eyes, we're just going to be making that ego dream, we're just strengthening it by seeing it as real, but instead the Course is prompting us again to turn our empathy over to the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to use that empathy as the Holy Spirit, you know, sees fit. So I think that the bottom line in what we're all, you know, what everybody's contributed so far about this is to really ask the Holy Spirit in the moment. And sometimes we'll feel prompted to, you know, say something, and sometimes maybe not. And Paul, were you going to just add something?
It's funny because as you were saying that, I glanced at what the next sentence was that we're going to read. And it says, remember that the Holy Spirit interprets the body only as a means of communication. So, of course, like, you know, that to me spoke to what you were just saying about what, you know, what do we do in those situations? What would the Holy Spirit do? If our bodies are just the means of communication, we're going to comfort that person in the moment, most likely.
yeah, beautiful. That's I'm glad that you.
I'm glad you said that because that's something that comes up for me in my mind too.
Yeah. And Clary, to address also what your friend said, like that's the world teaches that if you're worried, it means you care.
I was just going to say that.
Really? Here we go again with, you know, finishing each other's sentences.
So
that is a teaching of the world. And yet what is, you know, the even more loving thing that you did that maybe she can't see yet, and that is that you were willing to take that worry to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. let's with Paul's connection, let's read that next paragraph. Remember, the Holy Spirit interprets the body only as a means of communication. Being the communication link between God and his separated sons, the Holy Spirit interprets everything you have made in the light of what he is. The ego separates through the body. The Holy Spirit reaches through it to others. You do not perceive your brothers as the Holy Spirit does because you do not interpret their bodies and yours solely as a means of joining their minds and uniting them with yours and mine. This interpretation of the body will change your mind entirely about its value. Of itself, it has none. Again, all caps, N-O-N-E. The body has no value in and of itself. That's what that sentence means. So, okay, so thoughts.
Wait a minute, there's a line here.
For me, that first line sticks out immediately. I had kind of read it before, too, before when we were talking. Only because, how do I put this? I've actually been struggling might actually be the word. I've actually been struggling with the idea of motherhood, only because as a course student, I have been kind of in this space of like, how am I going to make sense of this as far as how I understand the body? So that actually kind of helped me heal a lot of it because I've just been doing a lot of releasing. That's what I've been doing because I've been kind of like, okay, it's a desire, but I don't want it to be ego. And how do I do this? Let it be an ego. And, like, I'm totally going to be like, this is happening to my body. You know, I'm going to have to push, and things are growing inside of me. And so I've been kind of – and, I mean, it might sound weird to someone that, you know, this is supposed to be something beautiful and magical and whatever, but that's just been my experience of it of late. And also reconciling the fact that this is a desire that I have. So the way that I've learned how to experience peace through it, and that first sentence just summarizes it, was that I was like, you know what, actually, I started to give it to the Holy Spirit, and every day I got a little bit more of like, oh, okay, but this is actually going to, it's just how you interpret it. It's just the meaning that you choose to give it. And if you give it to me, I will make it mean something so that it's, you know, it's for the joining of, it's for the healing, you know, instead of for the separating. And, like, I don't really know how that's possible. I was like, I don't know how you're going to do that, but okay. So I've noticed that, like, piece by piece, it kind of starts feeling a little bit more, like the same way we were talking last week, there's something you just experienced. So it's not even happening right now, but this is just me kind of, I guess I'm incubating before I'm incubating. I'm kind of like trying to understand or like release it before it's even like happening so that I can be in a space of, okay, I just want to release it and that makes sense. And like I said, this might be weird to someone, but this is just how I feel about it. And I'm like, hey, I just need the Holy Spirit to reinterpret this for me because if I don't, I feel like I don't want to experience it through my ego. And I feel like I feel like I've seen that happen. It happens all the time that I think that sometimes a lot of parenting can totally be a way for the ego to use bodies to separate, like it uses anything else. And there's a lot of course there's projection and you can project and you can see that person in you and, you know, because they might look like you. I mean, there's just all these layers to it. And I'm like trying to understand it all. And the more I release it, the more the Holy Spirit was like, it's okay. You don't need to understand it all today. You know, like just give it to me one day at a time. And it'll start feeling healed. Like you won't feel struggling. You won't feel like you're struggling about it, because like that's how I first felt about it. Like I was struggling, and then slowly and slowly, like every day that I remember this, that I'm like, okay, you just interpret it for me. You just interpret it for me. You know, I experience inner peace where I'm like, okay, I've let it go. I let it go. So the fact that it's saying that it's only as a means of communication, it just makes it make more sense to me that I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, that makes sense.
I wish you could see. I wish you could have seen my face as you were talking. It doesn't sound strange to me at all, because I have had enormous processing and I don't know if issues is the right word, but being, you know, a course student for a long time and then approaching this idea of pregnancy, everything that you just said sounds very familiar to me. So the bottom line with what you're doing is and handing it over and asking, you know, to be, to be taught to release it is the way to go. Definitely.
Yep.
We'll have to talk, and because I don't want to necessarily. No. I have a lot that I can say, and
yeah.
I would take up the whole rest of the call. So
yeah.
We'll have to talk more at
yeah.
some point about it.
And but. I think we did talk about briefly it before. So I think it's just now I'm just at that place where I'm like, I was like, Holy Spirit, you need to help me out with this, because I was like, I just see it as something that I guess that it's going to be a part of my journey. That's the best that I could put it. Like, I understand right now that I'm like, you're going to use this to help me unlearn things about this experience that I have learned through my own childhood, through my own, you know, my relationship with my mother. And I just see it every day that goes by. I see it more clearly as like, I get that if I give this to you, you're actually going to use this to help me unlearn what I've learned. Whereas before I just felt like I would just get stuck in the body and the ego. You know, the more I've just chosen to release it, the more I see it very clearly as I get that now it's part of my journey. I just see it that way. Like, I get that this is a part of my journey, and the more I can give it to you, you know, and I don't think it's always going to be easy, like everything, you know. And that's the thing that I've started to see more clearly, like marriage was like that, you know what I mean? Because, again, that's something, that's like a world body thing, you know what I mean? So the marriage could be the same thing. Degrees could be the same thing. You know, me going to work is the same thing. So the more like I've let the Holy Spirit in, he's helped me understand it in a way that's kind of simplified it, and I'm not all like heady about it, and I'm all like not confused about it, and it's just become, hey, this is just another thing that you're going to give to me so that you can unlearn all these ways of the world that you've learned, and it's going to be okay because you give everything else up, so just one more thing you have to give to me. And I'd be like, okay, I can do that. You know, it's just more practice.
That's more practice, beautiful.
I can handle that.
That's really beautiful. Thank you. Any other comments about this, your paragraph? Let's maybe take the next paragraph. If you use the body for attack, it is harmful to you. If you use it only to reach the minds of those who believe they are bodies and teach them through the body that this is not so, you will begin to understand the power of the mind that is in both of you. If you use the body for this and only for this, you cannot use it for attack. In the service of uniting, it becomes a beautiful lesson in communion, which has value until communion is. This is God's way of making unlimited what you have limited. The Holy Spirit does not see the body as you do, because he knows the only reality anything can have is the service it can render God on behalf of the function he has given it.
Well, I feel like, this is Carol, I feel like I need to make a comment with everybody else's comments. A week ago today, we were driving our kids back to school, and I've got to say that the weather was very, very good. But prior to that, my husband went out to pick up my mother and my daughter, and the weather was not good. And I can remember looking at my computer earlier in the day, and he was visiting his 96-year-old second cousin with his mom. And it was like lake effect, treacherous roads, you know, 10 inches of snow, ice, and I'm going, oh, my God, you know. So, you know, I'm in New Jersey. He's in Pennsylvania. And I'm texting him going, you may need to reconsider coming home, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, nothing here, it's good, it's this and that. And I'm going, it doesn't feel that way to me, you know. And I was totally into the body, totally into, I know what's right. And, you know, like I just, the ego was really strong. And he was so connected. He really was, because later, like many, many days later, I found out that he was driving through the snow. And he was like, you know what? I am surrounded by angels, and what I was supposed to be doing, I did.
Wow.
He went to visit his 96-year-old cousin, and he said it was like the best for everybody. I mean, his mom, him, this cousin. And he knew he was making heart connections. And he did what he was supposed to do, pick my daughter up, the whole thing. And later I heard, oh, yeah, you know, the roads were really bad. Not by him. He didn't say that. But I was like, isn't this interesting that I was attaching the body to everything. And he was able to, like, separate and go, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
And even with the outside circumstances looking scary, he was still so, you know, connected that it sounds like he was perfectly at peace.
Well, he didn't see outside circumstances looking scary. That was
right,
the whole deal.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
He was not seeing it that way.
Isn't this something we all experience at times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, again, it's that contrast.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't make him more spiritual than you, or you less spiritual than him. It's just that's truly kind of the human condition in a sense, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That feeling, though, of confidence for me comes when I recognize in these situations that God is always with me.
Yeah,
and that there's nothing to fear.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
I was listening to a course tape this week when I was driving back and forth to work, and that hit me. I mean, it says it in every paragraph practically, but for some reason it really hit me. I am never alone in any situation because God is always with me. The only way I can maintain that, really, is to reach to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, to remember that.
That is the only way. That is, yep, we can't remember that.
Because it is so elusive. It is so incredibly elusive
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's just that is really the point of, you know, just keeping your focus on this material.
Yeah. Carol, with your story, you reminded me of Peace Pilgrim, which
yeah.
I think some of us are familiar with.
Yeah.
And for those of us who aren't familiar with Peace Pilgrim, she was a woman who, from 1953, I think, to 1981, she vowed to just walk until mankind learned the way of peace. And she vowed to walk until given shelter, fast until given food, and never went more than 3 days without any of these things. And she, same thing, like she was so connected with spirit, and, you know, she didn't see the danger, at least not, you know, later in her life. And you were just, I'm having flashbacks, I'm not going to remember details, but I know there was a story of hers where she was caught walking in a terrible, terrible blizzard, and again, just was like, okay, you know, spirit, help me. And I think she like bumped right into, it was, you know, like some sort of shelter, essentially, that she literally walked right into, because she couldn't see because there was so much snow, and you know, there her safety was. So there's multiple stories like that of where she was, you know, provided for because of that just deep, deep faith and connection that she just constantly focused on. We are absolutely not alone.
And didn't she just basically have the clothes on her back?
Yeah, yeah, she had no
belongings. In those situations?
Clothes on her back. Mm-hmm, yep. That's right. And that's how deep, that was the depth of her trust, that she felt she just needed nothing. She would be
provided for, and she always was. Actually, the full-length documentary, I believe, is on YouTube, so if anybody is interested in watching it, it's phenomenal. It's called Peace Pilgrim, an American Sage Who Walked Her Talk. I think that's the title of it. I absolutely, absolutely love it.
I know I've seen it many years ago, but it's been a while, and well worth visiting again. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah. That's just, it came up for me right away when you were describing your husband.
thank you.
Voyage. Let's take the next paragraph. Communication ends separation. Attack promotes it. The body is beautiful or ugly, holy or savage, helpful or harmful, according to the use to which it is put. And in the body of another, you will see the use to which you have put yours. If the body becomes for you a means which you give to the Holy Spirit to use on behalf of union of the sonship, you will not see anything physical except as what it is. Use it for truth, and you will see it truly. Misuse it, and you will misunderstand it because you have already done so by misusing it. Interpret anything apart from the Holy Spirit, and you will mistrust it. This will lead you to hatred and attack and loss of peace. Again, all caps in the Sparkle Edition. Wow, more good stuff. I feel like every sentence that we've been reading so far is extremely powerful. What comes up for me in reading this paragraph with just use the body for truth, you will see it truly, misuse it, and you will misunderstand it because you have already done so by misusing it. What just comes up for me in this paragraph is that we can't of ourselves figure out, you know, the right use of the body or how we should see the body. We turn to the Holy Spirit and we allow the Holy Spirit to give us that perception. So really, again, here's that idea that the Course is saying the same thing over and over and over. We can't do it alone. We don't know how to use the body truly. We don't know how, you know, to use the body for true communication. And we don't know how to not attack. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us. And we just simply keep turning to the Holy Spirit and asking for that experience. For our awareness of truth to be grown in our minds. Other thoughts or comments about that paragraph? Or anything we've read so far?
A line that stuck out for me was interpret anything apart from the Holy Spirit and you will mistrust it, especially that word mistrust. And I just immediately thought, like, oh, no wonder we have so many issues sometimes with our brothers and sisters. Because instead of interpreting it, like, through Holy Spirit, we interpret it, you know, like when people say, like, I don't trust that person, or I don't know about their things, or I think they're trying to be sneaky, or I think that what they really want to do is whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, it was just a practical application of it. I was thinking, like, I know that the more I've studied the Course, the less I've had those feelings, and the more I've been willing to say, okay, this doesn't feel very good, so I'm just going to give it over. But nonetheless, I'm sure I project that at moments because sometimes I am still aware that there is mistrust and then people feel, you know, certain things about certain situations. That line stuck out for me for that reason. I'm thinking, oh, maybe that's why we don't get along sometimes or a lot of the time because we don't really interpret each other through the Holy Spirit's eyes. We interpret each other as separation. And then hence
that's
we, of course,
perfect.
Feel like people are shady.
Right. That is so perfect. I had those voices come to mind where you said, you know, interpret anything apart from the Holy Spirit as like, well, look at what they did, or I think this, and that, and you know, what are we doing? We're interpreting very much apart from the Holy Spirit. So, again, we have to see where we're at, but that was a great point. Thank you.
I think in some ways the ego is the background noise that says, you're going to get this right one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like it's an ongoing practice. And sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the thought I have, Paula, with what you just said was, sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we do. I mean, you've always said there is no wrong.
No, that's a good one. Yeah. So then is the ego's voice, that background noise that is always saying, oh, you got it wrong. You got it wrong.
Of course.
Has everyone read the section of the course called The Last Judgment?
Yes.
Yes. And then
that's
manual for teachers, right?
That's what comes up for me when talking about, because it's almost like we live this worldly life thinking that there's something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's already done, and the answer is going to be the same no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, it takes so much pressure off when I allow myself to remember that. When I'm caught up in the details or the stuff, I'm not remembering that.
That's beautiful. You're absolutely right. It's all done already. We have gotten it. It's been done right. We got it done right. We just haven't accepted that yet.
Yeah.
We just haven't accepted it.
And it at the end of the paragraph, it uses the word forever. In some respect, the Last Judgment paragraph, like.
Oh, okay.
This is my. You know, this is unchanging. So nothing we do at all, no matter who you are or what you think you've done, God's answer is always going to be the same.
What a beautiful reminder.
That really is.
Thank you, Deidre. Yeah, thank you. Very helpful. Let's tackle another paragraph. Where were we? So the last sentence we read was, this will lead you to hatred and attack and loss of peace. Yet all loss comes only from your own misunderstanding. Loss of any kind is impossible. When you look upon a brother as a physical entity, his power and glory are lost to you, and so are yours. You have attacked him, but you must have attacked yourself first. Do not see him this way for your own salvation, which must bring him his. Do not allow him to belittle himself in your mind, but give him freedom from his belief in littleness, and thus escape from yours. As part of you, he is holy. As part of me, you are. To communicate with part of God himself is to reach beyond the kingdom to its creator through his voice, which he has established as part of you. This, to me, this paragraph just again speaks to that we need each other, that we find, the light in our... The light was placed in our brother for both of us. That's where, as we become willing to see the Holy Spirit in others, not that we, again, can force it or force ourselves to see the Holy Spirit, but simply by becoming willing to see the Holy Spirit or to trust that the Holy Spirit is in our brothers, we learn that the Holy Spirit is in our mind as well. And the beginning, all loss comes only from your own misunderstanding. Loss of any kind is impossible. That spoke to me directly with what Deidre, with what you were just sharing, Deidre, about how it's all been done already. We just have to accept that it's all perfect. And again, what a powerful sentence. When you look upon a brother as a physical entity, his power and glory are lost to you, and so are yours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh,
I'll tell
God.
You, when I was in the car today in the middle of the snowstorm looking at the person who was driving the car as a physical entity, I can His power and glory were definitely lost to me, and mine were out. My awareness of my own was way out the window. So that just is very striking for me. And again, we can't not intellectualize this. We can't just say to ourselves, okay, you know, I know that you're not a physical entity, and, you know, we can't just intellectually convince ourselves. It, again, is that experience that we are given that that comes through us as we release our perceptions to spirit.
And that's where, for me, my mantras come in, like the Hawaiian prayer. Or something like this sentence which says, loss of any kind is impossible. I mean, that's very, very powerful to say over and over again.
That is.
But it gets me out of my ego. And, you know, mantras just help me to be able to separate from that ego thought, that ego mind.
It's just background noise. It really is. It's just background noise, and it is not real.
But boy, do we ever want to believe.
Wow, it's so, you're, Deidre, yeah.
Yeah, like, do we ever, I'm just thinking of that moment where I wanted to challenge my friend who was over here. Like, I wanted to, for some reason that day, I wanted to be separate. And I look back and I'm like, why? Why?
Moment.
Yeah, it's just really like.
It's so real.
Yeah.
And why the answer to that comes up just for me personally, like if I ask that question for myself, like, you know, why do I do the exact same thing? And it's because it's to keep Corinne going. It's because I love Corinne and I love what I made, and I don't want to let her go. And again, we're not going to lose anything. We're not going to, you know, lose a thing. It just gets transformed. Our awareness just expands and we see, you know, we see truth for what it is, so there's no loss ever. But that's just the answer that came when I asked myself that question.
That's...
You were asking that, Deidre. It came smack into my face.
Yeah.
You just hit on what, I mean, you just said something there, that there is no loss. That's the loss that they're referring to. It's not the physical loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you read that and take that literally, it's like, well, I lost my husband, God damn it! It sure feels real, you know. But that's,
we're afraid of losing afraid of losing our sense of self.
Yes, that's
sense
the
of
only
separateness, our sense of separate self, our ego self. We're afraid of losing, you know, Corinne. You know, you can go down the list of our friends and loved ones. We're afraid of losing ourselves. We're afraid of being, I mean, ultimately, if we take this really, really deep, we're afraid of being just blown to smithereens. I'm trying to think of the,
annihilation.
There's a word, annihilation, thank you. That's exactly the word that I was looking for. It's an annihilation fear that we've done something so awful that God's just going to just, you know, punish us and destroy us for it. And so if we trace this, you know, this fear of, you know, that we're going to lose something, this fear of sacrifice deep enough, that's the fear of God that we're touching. And again, it's not true. it's not true at all. There's nothing to be afraid of. God isn't mad, and there is no annihilation because, again, we are and are for always. Thank you for that.
That is just the coolest thing, to think God isn't mad. God is.
Mm-hmm.
I fell on my face a half a dozen times this week. I mean, really fell on my face. It was like, oh God, I was so disgusted with myself. And that notion, God isn't disgusted with you.
Nope.
You're fine. You're
We're fine.
Fine.
We are innocent. Innocent. Innocent.
You are innocent, and you are just fine. Boy, I'll tell you though,
Yay.
That thing, that other noise, it just.
let's read one more paragraph because it's short, and then we'll stop there. Rejoice then that of yourselves you can do nothing. You are not of yourselves. He of whom you are has willed your power and glory for you, with which you can perfectly accomplish his holy will for you, when you so will it yourself. He has not withdrawn his gifts from you, but you have withdrawn them from him. Let no son of God remain hidden for his name's sake, because his name is yours.
Oh, jeez.
Good one.
Isn't that just it?
Thank you all so much. I so needed this today.
Oh, me too.
Me too.
Oh, wonderful. We'll end there. And everybody have a spirit-filled week. And we'll resume again in a week.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.